This is a Soulfire production.
Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful souls, and welcome back to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm so excited to be breaking down this episode today. I was thinking about, I'm really a little nervous. Like, I'm calling myself out. I'm giving you the behind the scenes look at all the mistakes, all the hard won lessons that I learned along the way of building my second company, the Simply Be Agency, which was a personal brand, is a personal branding firm that I scaled and sold after 7 years of starting it from scratch with literally no money and no strategy and no team and no client, and ended up selling it and being able to really walk away from an asset that I have built that is now fully running without me, that I make money from. And it might look really good on Instagram, guys. And it might feel like, wow, she's really figured something out. Yeah, I did, but through a lot of pain and a lot of failure. And I was reflecting on, you know, all the things that I want to share with you in this new podcast. And one of them is absolutely, if I were to go back and do this whole thing over again, build my brand, build my community, build my team, build a client base, build my reputation, build my own strengths as a CEO, leader, entrepreneur, like, what would I have done differently? And there's a lot that I would have done differently, but I really wanted to break this down today in today's episode into sort of four key kind of tenets. I want to talk about clients. I want to talk about money. I want to talk about team. And I want to talk about you. Because at the end of the day, those things kind of are what make your business go. Clients equals, you know, marketing, sales, how you reach them, how you amass clients through lead generation and business development. Your team is your business. Your team is how things work every single day. And they are a representation of you. And your money, your pricing is the lifeblood of your business. And you have to be in abundance. You have to have the cash to continue to grow. And you have to continually be the best version of yourself as possible. Because I've said this before, and I will say it again, that leadership, being a leader of people, being a CEO, being a founder is like personal development school on steroids. You just go through like the meat grinder of self-awareness, and it's hard. But all of those things combined, you know, over the course of 7 years, I got right. I really did. I got it right. And I wanted to take you guys through those lessons and what I would do differently should I have known what I'm about to tell you, and save myself a lot of pain and suffering. Okay, so let's just start first with clients, audience, getting clear on your market. You have to be ruthless about this, you guys, because we all want to serve all the people, okay? I'll take you back to the early days of Simply Be, and to a large degree, I still believe this. Like, everybody in the world needs a personal brand. Everybody in the world should have a personal brand. Everyone in the world can benefit from having a personal brand. So let's serve everyone. Everyone is our client. If you are a founder of a tech company, if you are a spiritual teacher, if you are a restaurateur, if you are a artist, if you are a B2B marketer, if you are an online coach, whatever you are, you need what we have. And that was sort of our come from. And that's how we marketed it. And that was what we got. And that creates so much instability internally and chaos to a degree of your team and you trying to be everything to everyone. If you try to be everything to everyone, you will be nothing to no one. That is called marketing 101. And so around, I don't know, 21, 22, we ran this business from 2017 to 2024. Right there in the middle, towards like the end of the middle, we'd gotten far serving that client or serving that clientele, widely speaking, but I was losing my team. I was losing my mind. And we weren't really making as much money as I knew we could have been. And creating stability, rinse and repeatable growth by having not a clear target audience. And so my team and I, but really my team led it, did this quarter-long assessment looking at the data of the clients that had come before. We had served hundreds of clients at that point, and they looked at what were our best case clients and what were our worst case clients and what did they have in common? Like, what did all the greatest clients we have, what were the common themes there? So we could like paint an avatar and look for that. And what were the worst clients that we had? What were their common themes so that we could really create measurements of that being flags if those types of clients, you know, came in knocking on our door wanting to work with us? I'm going to be honest. When my team presented to me their findings, I was like, fuck no. I was like, no, this is way too limiting. This is too narrow. We're not going to get enough business. We're going to have to turn away now so much business if this is what we're following. And I kind of kicked and screamed about it. And at the end of the day, I surrendered and we stuck to the course and we were ruthless as a business that we weren't just for anyone who needed a personal brand, but specifically for Simply Be, at least, we were working with B2B executive teams in finance, software, fintech, AI, and recruiting. And the other criteria was they had to have at least one woman on the executive team, and they had to have a certain amount of revenue, of course, and they had to be in a certain part of the world because Simply Be is global and we have inquiries from Chicago to Saudi Arabia. And so we really had to get very clear of when we were willing to be on as a company to serve the demand across the globe. So I give this to you as a quick 1-2 playbook. You might serve a very different type of client than Simply Be does. I currently do, right, with my new business, jessicaswag.com. And I could say, well, I want to serve spiritual women. Women at large consider them spiritual, and I can't reach every single woman. So we have to crack down into who is this woman's personality? What are her pain points? What's her age? What's her income? What types of businesses does she run? How big is her team? What is the makeup of that team? And if I don't have these specific qualities, I'm really just spitting into the wind. And you really have to niche down as a baseline for how you go and get business and grow. And I didn't do that at first. And there was a massive pain point that we felt for years because we didn't have our, what we call ICP, ideal customer profile, defined. And let me say this, when my team did that quarter-long study, brought it to me, I kicked and screamed and we ended up agreeing as a company and moving forward. 6 months later, our business doubled. We were getting an explosion of our pipeline with not just clients, but the exact prototype of the client that we had defined in a freaking PowerPoint 6 months earlier. It was crazy. Well, it wasn't actually crazy because once we got that ICP down, all of our marketing, all of our messaging, all of our social, all of our blogs, all of our email started to cater to that specific person's pain point because we knew exactly who they were and we could talk directly to them in a meaningful way. And that's what brought in the right leads. It was kind of magic. Okay, number two, I really want to talk about your team. I had to go back and run my whole business all over again. This is what I would tell myself. Your team is not your family. Sorry, your team is your team. They're employees. You are their boss. Your company isn't their life. They come for a paycheck. They clock in at 9. They want to leave at 5. They want to put your company on their resume so their career looks good when they go off and to the next thing. Nobody is going to love your business the way you love your business. And you do not have to love your team like family. You can treat them like they are teammates. And when you're all on the same team, you all should root for each other, high-five each other, hug each other, cheer each other on, encourage one another, have a winning mindset, see in each other what you can't see in themselves. Like, you're on a team that you're going to go win a championship together. And that does breed a certain level of closeness. Yes. But at the end of the day, they're not your family. You don't need to care about them more than you care about yourself. I learned that the hard way, way too many times. I don't think I've, next to like breakups with boyfriends and breakups with friends, because like we all know breaking up with a girlfriend is sometimes harder than breaking up with a romantic partner. My team broke my heart over and over again. My team shattered my heart those first few years. And I just really had to realize through going through that same painful lesson over and over and over again that my team wasn't my family. They are my employees. And that breeds a certain level of distance, emotional boundary and separation, discernment and disassociation, which is really hard if you're a super uber feminine, loving, you know, empathic kind of person, which I am, right? I think most women are. And we think that it's bitchy if we look at someone like a line on a spreadsheet or cold or inhuman. But at the end of the day, your team has to be performing. They have to be driving revenue and value to your business. And they have to be good for culture. And they have to be good for your peace of mind. And if they're not any of the above, they're out. And learning how to hire slowly and fire fast is one of the best pieces of advice I could give anybody running a business. Be slow to hire. Take your time. Do your references. Make sure that person can do the job. Don't just hire them because you like them. Hire them because they can perform. I learned that lesson too. And when they're inside of your company and they're not doing their job, you know. And the sooner you can cut that person, the better. Be quick to fire. I can't tell you how many times I dragged my feet on letting someone go because I cared about them and how much collateral damage that did to my business. And once I did fire that person, how much I wish I would have done it sooner every time. So your team is not your family. Don't hire based on personality. And if you like them and want to hang out with them, hire them because they do the job well and they've proven it. And if they're not working out, let them go. Emotionally divorce yourself from your team needing to love you. They don't need to love you. They need to respect you. All right. Number three, I would have raised my pricing so much sooner. Okay, when people are buying your product up really, really, really fast, that's a sign that you're too cheap. And this is really what burned me out ultimately. Because listen, I'm an opportunist. I'm a capitalist. I love to make money. Spiritual hustlers, we're here to be queens and prosper, right? And I loved all of the different clients that were knocking on my door and we were closing multiple deals a week. It was crazy in those first couple of years. And I just realized that I was chasing rabbits, not attracting elephants. I would much rather have way less clients who pay me completely what I know I'm worth than a lot of clients who are maybe equaling that same amount who don't. And I'm just getting the cash to get the cash. That, frankly, was an early stage mindset for me because I was in hyper growth mode and it was a dopamine hit to get the client to close the deal. And it didn't necessarily matter if it was the right client or they were paying me exactly what they should. It was money. And that's a scarcity mindset. And I've explained in, you know, throughout these episodes, or I will, how there's such a huge difference between running from scarcity and making money at that versus actually being in abundance and making money from that vibration. And you will also find that the lowest paying clients will be your most high maintenance clients. They will be the ones that suck you dry. Whereas the largest paying clients are the most grateful, are the most laid back, are the most leaned in actually, and are wonderful partners. There is an energetic frequency that you call in when you're dealing with lower paying clients that many of us feel like we need to have to serve the market. And depending on your business model, you know, we're all in different spaces. I just found that every time I up-leveled my pricing, I up-leveled the quality of the clients that I got. I up-leveled my peace of mind. I up-leveled the joy it was to serve those clients. And I up-leveled my abundance. And I stopped chasing. I started attracting and standing in my pricing unapologetically. There's going to be a spectrum of people who can't believe how expensive you are, and they're going to like throw up when they hear your pricing. And then there are going to be people who don't blink. And most people are in the middle. And that's perfectly okay. Not everyone is meant to afford you. I had to get over my own internal blocks more than I had to get over how the client and the market was going to perceive me. It had actually nothing to do with them. It had everything with me standing in my own worth. And I would have done that a whole heck of a lot sooner. And the fourth thing that I would say that I wish I would have done is hire a coach. You know, I had mentors, I read the books, mentors were my colleagues and they didn't charge me for their time, right? They just gave me their time. I listened to the podcast, I read the books, I sort of self-coached myself, I took some courses, but it really wasn't until I brought a one-to-one coach into my life that really dedicated her time and energy into my success personally that I really saw my business change. I literally was shooting from the hip for so many years and kind of doing it blind, and my instincts were awesome and I started to grow. I mean, I don't think that we need a coach forever, but I wasn't supported at the beginning and things started happening and it started to grow and it became a little overwhelming and out of control and in a good way, but also in a way that was inhibiting me from getting to the next level. And I've invested thousands of dollars in a coach, and the results of that have earned me hundreds of thousands of dollars because literally she was like, here's how to do it. Here's the roadmap. Here's the playbook. Go. Not only did that make me money, but that saved me so much time and sanity. And so really knowing that you don't have all the answers, that you don't need to be the smartest person in the room, that somebody else can carry you, that somebody else can show you a better way without any ego or insecurities coming up around that. When you find the right coach that really you can be so honest in front of and fall apart in front of, and they give you all of the reflections and the pieces that make you amazing that you can't even see and hold a vision for your next level. It's frankly why I'm coaching now, because it's worked for my business and my life in such profound ways. And I would have bitten the bullet. You know, I had a couple opportunities to work with people and they were out of my budget. And I wish I would have done it sooner is all I'm trying to say. And the last thing I'll say, speaking of ego and self-importance, you aren't actually the most important person in the room. You don't need to be in a lot of rooms. I was somewhat of a micromanager in the early days. And I get when you're small and you're starting, you kind of have to be, you're in it, like it's your whole life. And you're literally building the fabric of the business. But I didn't have the right people who were helping me lead the business. And I would have identified better people managers sooner. I would have brought in executives that I truly trusted, that I didn't just think could do the job, but I felt in my body they could do the job. I would have learned how to listen to my nervous system and my intuition more strongly in the early days. And as a result of trusting myself, I would have allowed myself to trust others, and I would have removed myself sooner so the business wasn't so dependent on me. Because I believe that whether you're looking to sell your business, scale your business, stay the same, and just want more alignment, your job as the founder, the CEO, the leader, the entrepreneur, I believe, is to have the space to dream, to have the space to feel innovative and creative and think about what's the next thing so that your business is always staying fresh and relevant and inspiring, most of all to you. Because there were many times where I lost that inspiration because I simply didn't have the time to dream. And so being unapologetic about that is my last and final piece of advice I want to share with you. So if I had to go back and do it all over again, those are the couple things I would do. I'm going to make this a series. I'm going to talk about if I had to build my brand all over again, what would I do? If I had to build my team all over again, what would I do? If I had to build my audience all over again, what would I do? And I'm going to drop these throughout the months so that you guys can continue to learn from all of my mistakes, all of my fuck ups. And I hope that it served you today. And I just wanted to come in with the most profound lessons I learned in building my agency and being an entrepreneur on all sides of that coin. So I hope today was inspiring, and I hope that you loved the show. If you loved the show, please share the show with a friend, somebody else who's struggling running a business, who needs to learn from somebody who has walked the walk and not been perfect at it. Tag me on social media. I'd love to hear from you guys. And don't forget to leave a review, because that makes this show grow. And we need light workers in the world to continue to grow, to change this planet into a more feminine vibration. And that happens in numbers, and your reviews matter. All right, my friends, thank you so much. And I will see you on the next episode of the Spiritual Hustler Podcast.